Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the newest and latest episode of Ear to Ear Podcast with C. Ray and Lanny Moe. I am C. Ray. This good-looking fella is Lanny Moe. How you doing this evening, Lanny?
What's happening, Captain?
Not much, man. Another day in paradise on the mountain, buddy. Interesting week. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of things flying around in the air about WVU's coaching search. In case you are living under a rock and haven't heard, West Virginia fired Neil Brown last week. They spent the last week looking for a coach, and the rumor mill has been in high gear, pumping out just about any rumor you can think of related to a school's coaching search. I mean, you're hearing just freaking anything you can think of, man. Jimbo turned it down, or Rich Rod, you know, got a second interview, or I heard today that Matt Campbell is now a legitimate contender. I mean, it's just – It's kind of fun, but it's kind of crazy at the same time. It kind of makes your head spin. I don't know, man. I guess that's a good place to start. Kind of let's talk about some of these coaches that we're hearing out there, that we're hearing about, and who might be a candidate. I know who's not a candidate. Barry Odom from UNLV. He got hired at Purdue. So glad that wasn't us.
Good luck.
Yeah, so. Sorry, you know, not trying to be rude, but honestly, that was the only candidate that I've seen listed that I absolutely was like, no, please, God, no. I think most of the ones left, and I have some of them here that we'll talk about. I think most of the ones left, I'd be all for giving a shot to.
And for those who always wanted to have Tony Gibson be the head coach, you got a chance to go read for Marshall. So he took the head man's job down there. Awesome. Yep. For him and his career. Probably deserving to be a head coach after this many years in it. And Tony, wish you luck down in Turdville. So
the blundering turds.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Tony Gibson, I don't know. I wouldn't have been like depressed about that hire. I would have been, you know, a little open to seeing where it went. But I personally don't think it would have been
there's not too many. I mean, my father's had season tickets for 47 years. This was his 47th year season ticket holder. And if Tony Gibson would became the head coach of WVU, it'd been hard for me to write that check.
Wow.
I think Tony Gibson's always been not good at defense, at anything. I just think he's just not a good coach. So that's just me personal. So if he goes down there, if he goes down there and wins, good for him. And couldn't be in a worse place on earth. So,
oh man. Yeah. You know, more power to him. Wish him the best of luck. Well, Lanny, let's just start off there, man. We got some of these coaches listed here. And before anybody wants to say anything, I'm not going to give any names. And I'm not going to say who, but earlier this week, there was maybe a little bit of controversy about certain podcasts, not ours, putting other information out there and not giving credit, blah, 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 is kind of a thing on one of the online areas. Before anybody says anything to us, we're not pulling this from any specific area. These are just names that we've heard, that we've read, that you know are everywhere, you know,
and everybody knows this.
Yeah,
list,
yeah.
This,
it's not like it's not is, like this is. Yeah. It's not like this list is private information that you know people haven't heard. So, but with that, let's get into it, man. I got some of these here for those of you listening on Apple and Spotify that are not watching on YouTube. You don't get to see this awesome graphic that I made, which is just basically a collage of different coaches with their names. Yeah, to start it off, we got Rich Rod. Well, I put Dick Rod. So, you know, Lanny, I'm sorry if that offends you. Rich, you know, Mr. Rodriguez, if you ever see this, you know, it's not that I hate you. You're just not my first choice. But yeah, we got Rich Rod, of course, Jimbo, John Sumrall from Tulane, Jamie Chadwell from Liberty, Jake Dickert from Washington State, Jason Candle from Toledo, Andy Kotelnicki, that's Kotelnicki from Penn State, and Jeff Monken from Army. And this isn't everybody, I don't think, that's being, considered a candidate. These are just some of the bigger names that we're hearing the most, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. Let's talk about a few of them. Let's start with Rich Rod, man. I mean, it's like I've said 100 times. I don't know. You know, Jeff Ruff, I know you're out there. I know you're listening. I know you love Rich Rod. I know Lanny loves Rich Rod. You know, start there, Lanny. What do you think?
He's my dude. I mean, I just think that he's got a redemption story. He could come back here. I truly in my heart believe he could win here. The money would be behind him to come back. As far as recruiting goes, he would have so – like, recruiting would be amazing under Rich. The old lads and the old grads, you know, Pac-Man and McAfee and every player that, you know, were on the video game guys that they all saw, you know, they would have to, it wouldn't take much for if Rich was on Pac-Man's show and he said, you know, he asked the questions. I mean, he basically interviewed him like Renwood, where how long do you think, you know, 60 years old, how long do you think you have? And he said, basically, you know, I got 10 years easily. I can see myself coaching into my 70s. He said, I feel good at heart. I feel good in health-wise, you know. And he actually said, you know, home is home. West Virginia is my home. I just think that it would not be instant. I think it'd take a year, whatever, but I can see some players that are on this team that would fit right in. He is very, very good. He's an expert at plugging in players and putting them in winning situations. And, you know, we can all say if Benarik wouldn't have got hurt, we never would have heard of Pat White. That's, you know, that might be true, but whenever he had talent in player personnel, he got the absolute best out of them. So that's my dude. I mean, I'm done ranting with it. Hire him tomorrow.
So. Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. That's the big rumor, is they're trying to wrap this up by like Tuesday. So we'll see. I don't know. I've said it kind of a few times. He's not my first choice. I'm not adamantly opposed to him. If they were to hire Rich Rod, I would obviously support him and be like, hey, let's see where this goes. You know, my thing is, it's like I said a couple times, I think a lot of people are looking at this with nostalgic glasses, that he's going to come here and pick up where he left off and instantly catapult us back into the place that we once were. And I could be wrong about that. I mean, if I am, I hope I am. I would love to be wrong about that. I would love for him to come in here. You know, the first year, nobody expects anything, a rebuild year, getting all your stuff back. Maybe the second year, shoot, has us playing for the conference championship or winning 10 games. I don't know. It's possible, but I just have my doubts about it. Now, it's hard to deny. You know, a lot of people point to Arizona as part of a big chip in his, they're not chip, I should say, but a big feather in his cap for his career. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that. I mean, he went there. And if you look at what Arizona did before and after Rich Rod, yeah, I mean, he won there. I mean, he had a 10-win season. He did well there. He's doing great at Jackson State, obviously. We've all seen that. So I don't know. It's highly possible he would come in here and catapult us back to the promised land, per se. The one thing that you can't deny, no matter how against Rich Rod you may be, the one thing you can't deny is the impact he would have on our NIL and the support he would have. I mean, donors would be pumping money in. You know, you'd have Pat McAfee, who is honestly probably one of our biggest fans right now. And the platform that he has for our school, it's really hard to deny the positives that would come with him, with Rich Rod. So I'm not, you know, like I said, not adamantly opposed to it. If that's the way Ren goes, then okay, cool. Let's see it. Next up is Jimbo, who recently I have heard is not a candidate now.
From what I've been hearing through the grapevine, Jimbo's not interested in coaching WVU. And you know, it's more like a family thing where he's good with his family being here, but he really doesn't want to be here. So yeah, well, that's where I'm at with it.
I mean, I liked him. You know, I thought that, you know, his the one bad year he had with a top recruiting class at A&M where they fired him, I don't think tells the story of his past or what could have been his future. 5 years, he didn't overall do bad there. He did have a top five recruiting class in a year that he had a very bad year. But, you know, when you're playing in the conference and in the division he played in with four other teams that also get top five recruiting classes every year, you know, just is what it is, I guess. But I'll be honest, I've kind of cooled on Jimbo a little bit, I think. So that's just kind of where I am with him. John Sumrall at Tulane, I don't think either of us have a whole lot of information on him. His career record is 32-8 as a head coach, 9-4 of that at Tulane. I'm not entirely happy about any G5 candidate. I think we've all been a little burnt by the Neil Brown G5 experiment. So me personally, I'm all like, hey, I would love to have somebody that has Power 4 experience. I would prefer a coordinator that has been a Power 4 coordinator for the last 5 to 10 years, as opposed to an quote unquote up and coming G5 coach.
The only thing I know about John Sumrall, that dude's got a great masculine jawline. my goodness. He looks like a coach. I don't know nothing about the green wave down there and, you know, Tulane and about this guy. Obviously he's won there. You know, he's on the list of some jobs or whatever, but a great jawline. So,
I will say this, they did go on an 8-game winning streak this year. They finished their season 9-4. They lost last week to Memphis too. But they went on an 8-game winning streak and outscored their final three foes in regular season 121-9.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nasty.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. But he also, I think, was a big name for UNC and UCF. And for all I know, he may have already been hired. I don't know.
UCF hired their old coach back.
They did.
Frost.
I thought he was leaving to Scott Frost, right?
Scott Frost, yes.
That's right. Okay.
He's on his second stint there.
There you go. You want that retread, don't you? Listen, if we're gonna retread anybody, I say we bring Dana back.
Oh my goodness, you done lost.
Let's bring Dana back.
Go to the next coach. I'm done listening.
Bring
back
air raid, baby. Jesus. Come on.
No.
I don't know. You know, we got
Jamie Chadwell's getting Liberty has a lot of cash. He's making bank down there. He's making close to $6 million a year. Liberty, no way. He's happy there, winning there, cashing checks there. No way.
Winning there, he's 21-4 so far down there. So yeah, I mean, he is winning there, and his salary right now is $4 million. So it almost makes you think, you know, they're going to have to pay more than they were paying Neil to get somebody like that to leave in an area where he's kind of set up a pretty good situation for himself.
Yeah, with a buyout and everything, he don't even get a phone call, I don't think.
You don't think so? I don't know. For all we know, he may have already gotten a phone call. Yeah. Jake Dickert from our current head coach at Washington State, 23-20 as a career record. Head coaching career record. That doesn't really do much for me. I don't know what qualifies him, I guess, in Wren's eyes to want to get any kind of interest. Like I said, again, everybody, keep in mind that these are just names we're hearing and names we're discussing. You know,
and I'm just making up stuff because I don't know half.
I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, we'll go over this in a minute, but I'm telling you right now, there's all these rumors floating about where all these people that say, well, I've been told this and I've been told this, and myself included. I've been told by a few different people I know different things. I'm telling you right now, none of these people know anything for sure, because Wren Baker is a very tight-lipped person that he's not texting people and saying, hey, man, just want to let you know I gave Richard a second interview today. And we'll go, you know, I'll cover more of that here in a second. But one that entertains me is Andy Kotelnicki, the Penn State offensive coordinator.
That's who I think it's down to.
Rich and Kotelnicki?
Yeah, that's okay. It's going to be one or the other. And I just believe that.
So here's my thing. Here's my thing with Kotelniki. While he may, if I'm not mistaken, has not been a head coach, it's tough to deny that he was responsible for probably 95% of Kansas' success 2 years ago. Okay. He took a team that we all agreed that was a basement dweller in the Big 12 and took them to 6-0 for the first time since, like, I think it was 95 or 96. Okay. That's kind of a big deal. He understood what he had in Jalen Daniels that year. He understood how to use Jalen Daniels. And I'm telling you right now, what made that extremely evident was watching Kansas this year try to figure out their new offensive coordinator, try to figure out how to use Jalen Daniels. Because I don't think that they utilized him the right way for probably half of their season, the way Andy Kotelniki did last year or year before. I can't remember which it was. And if you take into consideration here the fact that Jalen Daniels went down when they were 6-0, where they may have finished had he not gotten hurt. And if Andy Kotelniki would have been the offensive coordinator there still this year, I believe we would have lost to Kansas again this year.
Well, I mean, he's OC at Penn State, and Penn State's offense, I mean, they're still, in my eyes, they're not lighting it up. But tell you what, they damn near hung 40 on the number one team in the nation, Oregon last night. And yep. They did look the best they've looked all year. Yep. So, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. I want a coach that's been there, done it, that's built a program. And, I think that he's just, if we don't get Rich, we got to go Andy. That's where I'm at.
I think it would be funny if, like, Ren just kind of surprised all of us and just hired somebody. People would be shocked, just some person we haven't even heard of. Like, we don't even know that's interviewed. You know what I mean? Like, it would be crazy. It would be crazy to think about and crazy to see. And something to put into everybody's minds out here, I'm hearing a lot of things about, like, I don't know, a lot of people giving Ren a lot of crap about who they think he's going to hire. The big rumor was he wanted Barry Odom because he and Barry Odom worked together before. They had this connection and they were very familiar with each other. And, you know, from what I heard, and I don't know, Lanny, maybe you heard the same thing. A lot of the bigger donors wanted Rich Rod and Ren wanted Odom. And there was a bit of a back and forth there that, you know, maybe played into why that's not who they pulled the trigger on. Doesn't matter now because he got hired at Purdue. But Ren's an incredibly tight-lipped person. He doesn't really let anything slip about this stuff. And we saw that with the basketball hires. I mean, we didn't hear crap about who he was thinking about hiring from any credible people that, you know what I mean, that knew for sure. And then, oh, boom, here's Kellogg. Boom, here's DeVries. You got these people that have sources, you know, and you hear something like, oh, Rich Rod got a second interview. That's probably coming from someone in Rich Rod's circle. Or you hear that, oh, Andy Kotelnik had an interview today. That's probably coming from somebody in Andy Kotelnik's circle. Like, Ren Baker isn't texting these people and saying, hey, just wanted to let you guys – it's not like he has a group chat with a bunch of people. Just want to let you guys know I gave Rich Rod a second interview today. You think you know the person that Ren Baker is updating every day on this stuff? Like, I just don't think that that's how he works. And I know we all know that basketball and football is very different. You know, the football drives most Power Four schools, a lot of Power Four schools. We're all aware of that. And it's a very important hire. But considering what he did with women's basketball hire and so far the men's basketball hire, I have no reason to doubt Ren until he hires a guy and that guy falls on his face.
Well, Ren's going to break it down. I mean, he's going to look at it from every aspect, for like a business, like you would when you run a business. And that's what this is. This is big business. And, you know, he's going to do what's best because this is his hire. This is his dude that he's going to have to, you know, he's hitching his wagon to. That it could be, you know, a feather in his cap, or, you know, tar below his feet. So,
And the thing is, like, if Wren decides that he's going to leave West Virginia University, which is another rumor I heard this week, TCU. I heard that he's interested in a TCU job. You know, it's an hour and a half from his stomping grounds. And TCU could probably afford to buy him if they wanted to. Again, guys, these are all just rumors, but it's just stuff we're hearing. But, like, if you are another school that one day is looking to hire an AD and Wren Baker applies, or you decide you might look at Wren Baker and you look at, oh, man, he hired a terrible football coach for WVU. Like, it's kind of a stain. Like, and there's some people out there that have even gone as far to say, well, Wren Baker's going to stick it to us on purpose. He's going to make a bad hire and then he's going to leave. I don't know that I buy that. Why? Like, why? What's the reason for that?
You know who can hire some coaches? The AD of Baylor. Baylor can hire some coaches now.
You know who I'd love to have back?
Who?
Oliver Luck, man. Nah. Come on, man. Ollie Luck. He did some good stuff here.
You really think so?
Man, he had – now, there's a lot of back and forth about this. He played a part in getting us into the Big 12. We all know that Dandy Dawn did a lot of that. But, you know, it wouldn't have been possible without him being involved. And I'm sorry, he hired Dana. And I don't have any – I didn't want Dana to leave when he did leave. I liked the years with Dana. I thought we – you know, yeah, okay, so his last year we didn't perform exactly as expected. But, damn, like, things were fun when Dana was here. We won. We were ranked.
Dana didn't bother me. I'm just that Dana Holgerson's not a very – he's just not a good human being. But, you know, Dana didn't want to be here. You know, that's where I was at with it. And Dana wasn't the PR guy that West Virginia's used to having to stand there and kind of kiss the babies and shake the donors' hands. And that drove a couple wedges here and there. But
I don't know.
I don't know. And that's I think that's just like people that bitch and complain that we're in a Big 12. That was the only place we had to go. It was a blessing that we even got into the Big 12, and we would be in a crapshoot financially if we wouldn't have, because we got guaranteed money. And right now, this year, West Virginia is going to the Frisco Bowl, which makes no sense that it's in Frisco, Texas, and not San Francisco. But anyway,
well, it's the Frisco Coffee Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the Frisco brand is in Texas. That's where they originated from. That's who's sponsoring the bowl, and they're a Texas company. So that's why it's down there.
But as far as even, you know, getting myself back on track with the whole, you know, where we would be. We would be in a bad, bad spot if it wasn't for getting into the Big 12, and that's what Oliver Luck did. Oliver Luck got us, you know, into the Big 12, guided us there and whatever. And
he got us a place to land when we were getting ready to crash.
Yeah, we was in a bad spot.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you where I'm at, okay? The one person that I didn't want Wren to hire – didn't get hired. Okay. Barry Odom is not going to be on the sidelines for WVU in 2025.
And I'm great with that.
Yep. Yeah. And neither is Neil Brown. So for me personally, anybody else left on his list that is Power Four experience, give him, I'm all for giving him a shot and let's see him where it goes.
You got to buy in. We all do. I mean, what are we going to do? Bitch, cry, and scream. That's about all we can do. Oh, and cheer when it's good and complain when it's bad, you know? We got to be there with it, or, you know, or say, I'm never rooting for that guy again, you know, or I'm never going to another game again. Yeah, you will. Shut up, stupid. You will go to the game. You will turn it on when they're on TV. You might turn it off four or five times, like my father-in-law does. Yeah, leaves the room back, but he turns it back on and watches it later. But, you know, it's, and it drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely. And I love my father-in-law with all my heart, but man, is he fair weather as hell. And I even tell him that, you know, you know, but, yeah, it's, you have to give you know, whoever Wren hires, he's truly hiring the best that he thinks to guide the program into the future and get behind it. That's all you can do is get behind it, trust it for a little bit. Hell, we trusted the climb for, I did anyway, for a lot longer than I should have.
I did, and some
people only was on it for, you know, 2 years, and they were probably right by that, you know, but, you know, just get behind it and let's just go with it.
Man, listen, if you're out there and you only trusted the climb for 2 years and you knew after two seasons that Neil Brown was not the guy, will you please hit us up on Twitter or leave a comment and explain to us your rationale and how you figured that out? Because I am of the opinion that you got to give it at least two. I'll give you that. But, man, I mean, I gave it up to four. I'm telling you, for me, dude, it was Pitt 2022, okay? And Pitt 2022, which 19 was his first season, right? So it's 19, 20. Yeah, that's 4 years. Pitt 2022, when it was fourth and one, or fourth and inches, and we punted the ball instead of going for it and punching it across the line, that's when I said, this is not our guy, because his reason was – I looked at the analytics.
Yeah.
And the analytics, dude, sometimes your gut has to be the analytics you listen to. Okay. Sometimes when you got a little bit of momentum and you're driving and it's fourth and inches, you punch it in and try and get that win as opposed to punting it off. You know, I'll never forget that. But I think for me, that was it for me, where I was like, yeah, okay, he's not the guy.
That's why you don't coach, fool.
Many other reasons.
Yeah. That didn't bother me that bad. Except for, you know, he got exactly what he wanted out of that punt inside the 10, and they marched straight down the field to tie you. You didn't go for it with a lead. But if you do go for it, and then he was thinking you don't get it, you're giving, you know what I'm saying, you're in a 7-point ball game, you're giving the ball 50 yard line.
That's so true.
You know,
I mean, it's one of those things.
It just didn't work out. The play call, either way. You know, he did what he, you know, it was on the defense to give up a 90 yard, you know, drive to tie.
Yeah.
And then we all saw the next drive went through the hands and gave him the lead. And
I had more faith that our offense was going to punch that across there and continue to kill the clock than our defense stopping them for 90 yards.
Yeah. Well, my thing
and
is
that's the thing for me.
My thing is, I just want a coach that goes for the jugular, whether it's a damn swim coach that we have. You know, I want our swimming team to beat everybody by 1 second. And, you know, every sport at West Virginia to go for the jugular and win. You know, that's what I want.
I will say this, and for those of you out there that don't know, our water polo team made it to the Elite Eight this week. So good on them.
Marco Polo or water polo?
Water polo.
Amazing at Marco Polo.
Y'all ain't ever seen anybody get out of a pool and cheat like Lance does with making no noise at all.
Oh, dude. I go into water with a straw, bro. You know?
No, water polo team. Okay. Made it as in the Elite Eight. So, you know, good on the water polo team. And I'm willing to bet we're the only podcast that gives those guys a shout out. So when I put this on there, all right, I'm gonna tag the WVU water polo. I know they got a Twitter page. And so good job, guys. Keep it up. Hope you guys bring a national championship to West Virginia for water polo. Looks like a fun game. Never done it because I'm not a great swimmer. But so looks like fun though. But yeah, you know what? Though let's turn the page on the Wren Brown Neil Brown chapter, guys.
Yeah.
Let's just give Wren the chance to disappoint us. There's a lot of people jumping at him already because the decision either A hasn't been made, or they're hearing. I hear from this person that Wren wants to hire them, or I hear from this person. Guys, Wren Baker ain't texting these people and giving them straight up information. You're hearing speculation, and I'm doing it too. I've got my people that I ask questions, and they're giving me information as well. We all, you know, I think a lot of us know somebody, you know, that a lot of it comes from. I'm not going to go into my connections. Point is, give Wren the chance to disappoint us. Okay. Yeah. Let's let him make this hire like we let him make the basketball hires. And if it turns out to be a bad hire, then it's on Wren. Then we can say,
what are you going to do about it anyway? I mean, what? Put up a banner? Rent a billboard maybe?
Hey, you leave the Wolfpack out of this, okay? They're good people. They're good people. I like them. They're taking all the leftover money and donating to the WVU Children's Hospital.
Good for them.
It is good for them. And listen, there's two things I like about those guys, that group, whatever, girls, I don't know. I'm sure there's a female or two in there maybe. They did exactly what they said they were going to do, and they were honest with where they were putting the money. The money went to where they said the money was going to go, and they said, hey, if there's anything left, we're going to give it to the children. And they did. And sometimes, Lanny, your word is all you got, man. And for a group like that wants to be known and wants to try to make a difference, their word's everything. So, hey, good on those guys. I don't know how much money was left that went to the Children's Hospital, and I don't care. They gave it to them, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's see what Wren Baker does before we jump the guy's throat.
Okay.
In other news, the college football playoff bracket, the first ever 12-team college football playoff, has been released. And here it is.
Get weird. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, buddy. Now, listen, if you're another one of those people that for some reason doesn't want to watch our beautiful faces on YouTube, we're looking at 1 through 12, and this is it. 1 through 12, Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, Arizona State, who I don't think any of us expected at the beginning of the year, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Tennessee, Indiana, SMU, God, I hate them, and last but not least, Clemson. Did you see the end of the Clemson game last night?
Yes.
Listen, man, I'm sorry. I know you're not a big fan of Clemson.
It was a great game.
It was a great game. Football game. And that 56-yard field goal to win it, dude, that's clutch. Yeah. And it was good. It would have been good from 60. That was a fun game. That was a fun football game. Mm-hmm. You know, SMU coming down and tying it up with like 10 seconds left, man. And then that return Clemson got, their return man got him in a good position. One good play got him just a little outside. Of field goal range, but the kicker was like, I got this, boys. 56 mm-hmm. yards down the middle. That was a pretty cool ending. But that's 1 through 12. Let's just, you know, what do you think? What do you think about this?
Ohio State and Tennessee started off. I think Ohio State's a better team. Ohio State will move on to play Oregon.
Who will beat them?
So you think who you got? Ohio State, Tennessee?
You know, I want to say Tennessee because I hate Ohio State so much.
Yeah.
But, using logic in football, I think Ohio State's going to get that win. I think Tennessee has a chance there. I mean, I really do. Tennessee's, they're good this year. Like, it's not like, I'm not looking for it to be a blowout. Let's put it that way. But I think Ohio State's going to get that win.
Okay. Then we got so you got Ohio State moving on. I do too. So then we got Texas and Clemson. I think Texas is pretty damn good at football in general this year. I'm over Clemson. It just seems like they're good. I'm not taking anything away from them, but they just have that knack of winning every game by the last second. I'm over Dabo completely. There's a little bit of jealousy in there with me compared to, you know, when we beat their ass and which way our program went, which way theirs went. But right. I think much as I want to say horns down, I think Texas moves on to play Arizona State then.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. I don't really have a problem with Clemson. You're right about one thing, man. That Orange Bowl was, and my boss and I talk about this all the time when we're traveling together for work. That bowl game, you know, set our universities on different tracks. And, you know, Dana kept us there. He kept us he kept us at the dinner table of those great talks, okay? But, man, the change that Clemson made by getting their, you know, rear ends panned by us set their program into a just a rocketry of just freaking success. and you're right. They do have a habit of dragging you down to the very last minute. I just don't know if they can do it against Texas. You know, I hate to say this because I'm horns down all day, every day, like every other person in the United States that doesn't wear burnt orange, I'm sure. They might kind of be back. They go to the SEC, and I legitimately thought they were going to just go belly up in the SEC. I thought there was no way they would compete. I thought that teams were just going to control them in the SEC, and it turns out I was very wrong about that. Actually, I thought Oklahoma would do much better in the SEC than Texas would, and it has not turned out that way. So, yeah, I'm going with Texas on this. They're gonna put it to Clemson, and they're gonna have Arizona State in the second round. Next after that, you got Penn State and SMU. I think Penn State gets that, and I think Penn State gets that pretty easily. Part of that's bias. I hate SMU and their fans. Their fans are insufferable, man. They got that big pony energy, baby, and it's just a pain. God, I hate them.
I think SMU gets down. I just like them.
Is that going to be your upset?
No, it's not, because Penn State is still Penn State and a better team. So Penn State moves on.
Okay, that's fair. Indiana, man. Indiana, Notre Dame. That's the last first round matchup. I'm going Indiana all day there.
This is Notre Dame's going to beat Indiana.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Notre Dame gets down a lot more than what people think they do. Notre Dame, I think they're pretty good. Indiana will make it a game. It'll be an absolute battle, but I think Notre Dame wins that game.
Okay, so you and I pretty much agreed on all of that, with the exception of Indiana. So we're going to Oregon against Ohio State in the second round.
Yep.
Arizona State versus Texas. Boise State versus Penn State. You're saying Georgia and Notre Dame. I'm saying Georgia and Indiana. Mm-hmm. I think starting at the bottom this time and going up, Georgia is going to beat whichever one of those teams comes up to them. I don't care which one it is.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't think either of those teams beat Georgia. They just don't. It's Georgia right now. Georgia is the, in my opinion, kind of, I was really leaning on this last year, not so much this year because they did lose a couple games this year. But it's almost like they're the new Alabama.
Well, they lost. They might have lost their quarterback for the rest of the year. Beck might have been, Carson Beck. He might be hurt. He might be out. They're the way that they, what I heard they were talking was like Tommy John surgery on the elbow. He was getting evaluated. He was going to see some specialists today and stuff like that. But yeah.
Probably still done.
Still yet though, I think Georgia just gets down, and you can never count Georgia out ever. So I think it doesn't matter who they play in this one, Indiana or Notre Dame, Georgia moves on.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I agree. Georgia's beating either one of them teams. I don't think either of them have an answer for them. Which brings us to Boise State and Penn State. That's another Penn State win. Boise State coming from the Mountain West, right?
Yeah.
It's a different style that they're getting ready to come into. It's a different beast that they're getting ready to come up against. And I'm going with Penn State. I don't think they're going to be able to handle them. I think that might be more of a lopsided win, in my opinion.
I think Penn State beats Boise State. I think pretty much Boise State's one dimensional compared to, I mean, they got their running back ran for like 6 million yards this year, 6 million yards this year. And he's probably going to finish second in the Heisman, but, yeah, Penn State wins. They just move on.
All right. So here's the first one I'm going to have some trouble with. Arizona State and Texas. I don't know, man. Arizona State is a team that at the beginning of the year, nobody thought they were going to do crap.
Nobody.
And as we watched them through the year, they just continued to prove people wrong up to the point of winning the conference, which everybody was like, hey, BYU, Kansas State, Iowa State, those are the three teams. One of them three is going to win this conference. Well, and West Virginia, let's not forget how we were in the mix for up until the last week, you know. But Arizona State, Texas, that's I think that might be kind of an even matchup. I mean, I think Texas comes out on top because they're going to grind it a little harder, I think, than Arizona. I don't think that it's going to be a one-sided game.
No, I don't think so either. I think Arizona State is going to absolutely give Texas fits. It's going to be a last-second drive, something, you know, ridiculous. And I think Arizona State beats Texas. And not that I hate Texas, not that I love Arizona State. I just watch them both. And if they played each other 10 times, somebody's going to win five and somebody's going to win, you know, I think it's split 5-5. And I think the one time that Arizona State needs to win is this time and they move on.
Okay. Fair enough. Bringing us up to Oregon and Ohio State. That's Oregon. I don't think. I'll be honest with you. I think Oregon's going to be playing in the national championship game. Like
I do too.
I don't think anybody in their side is going to beat them in their side of the bracket.
Yeah, and I think that Oregon is the national champion this year. I'm just going to throw it out there. Ooh. So that would be Oregon beating Ohio State, and then Oregon beating the winner of Texas and Arizona State,
which you thought was Arizona, I thought was Texas. I think we both agree with that. Oregon for sure. Yeah. PSU, Penn State and Georgia. I'm going Georgia. Yeah, and then that leaves us with a national championship game of Oregon and Georgia. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think Oregon wins that. Oregon is going to be the national championship.
God, we suck. What the hell's going on? We're agreeing on stuff. Yeah.
Don't worry, I got something we don't agree on.
Okay, I'm game with that. Yeah, but all right, I think Oregon is just built for it. You know, their
coach I do too.
I think their coach gets down, and you know what? I'm good with that.
Listen,
if Oregon wins the national championship, I'm good.
Yes, yeah, me too. And here's the only thing that bothers me about what I'm looking at right here in this bracket. Okay. You have five of the 12 teams that are non-Big Ten and SEC teams. It bothers me that they got more than half of the field. But as much as I'm going to hate saying this, I kind of looked around and tried to justify teams that might be able to deserve to be in over what we're looking at. And really, I mean – I don't know. Who do you make it a legitimate argument for? I mean, maybe Miami. They finished 10-2, but they had
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, Miami finished 10-2. I tried to kind of justify maybe BYU or one of the other Big Ten justify BYU, I should just say. I just don't know that I can make a convincing case for anybody outside of the field that's here. I'll say this, and this is going to lead us down a path. You and I, Mike, maybe you and I agree on this. Let's talk about this for a second, okay? Alabama didn't get in.
Right.
Okay. Paul Feinbaum, a guy I just dislike him because of the amount of tickling that he does for Alabama, okay? The guy thinks that Alabama is just the best school and nobody should ever beat them. And he's out here. I don't know if you saw this or not, but he was out here, I think, yesterday or today or some point saying the committee took the easy way out on picking SMU over Alabama. They didn't want to face any kind of controversy and they just wanted to take the easy route. Let me tell you something, Paul. They didn't take the easy route picking SMU because they wanted to avoid controversy. They took the easy route of picking SMU because SMU deserved to be in over Alabama. Alabama lost three games this year, okay? There's only one three-loss team in the college football playoff, and it's Clemson. Clemson won their conference. That's the new rule. If you win the conference, you're in. Guess what? If Alabama would have had three losses but still won their conference, okay. Hey, they won their conference. They're in. shut up and give it a rest, Paul, because let's use your logic here. hold on. I had a note for this. Let me find it real quick because it bugged the crap out of me. Oh, okay. Ole Miss. You know who else lost three games and also plays in the SEC? Ole Miss did. They played a lot of the same teams Alabama did in their conference this year. And guess what? Ole Miss beat Oklahoma. You know who didn't beat Oklahoma? Alabama. So maybe we can make more of an argument that maybe Ole Miss deserves to be in over Alabama.
I just don't know who you drop out of this to put Alabama in.
Who do you that's justify? Where I'm at. Well, okay, Paul Feinbaum says SMU. He says SMU doesn't deserve to be in there because part of it, I think, was because they didn't win their conference. They were 11-1 in the regular season. You think an 11-1 team in another Power Four conference should be kicked out for a 9-3 Alabama even come close to playing for their conference championship?
Well, he's just a believer in SEC, you know. So what, that would put, what, four teams in SEC in?
Actually, ironically, you know, hold on. Let's see here. What we got?
It would have been four.
And ironically, that is exactly what the SEC and the Big Ten are pushing for. SEC and the Big Ten are pushing for, hey, we should each be guaranteed four spots no matter what happens. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's part of the whole conspiracy here. He's complaining because, well, who can we almost try to justify? Well, SMU didn't win their conference. Alabama didn't even play for their conference.
Right.
So, it's just another reason that it should be make everything one freaking super conference and let it play out like the NFL. Results driven, man. I'm telling you. That bugs the crap out of me. Sorry. Rant over. But you know what I mean? He's out here beating that drum for Alabama. It's like, how are you going to justify a three-loss Alabama team that didn't even play for their conference championship?
And that's why this thing's probably going to go to 16.
Oh,
you know, there's always going to be that fifth place team in sixth place. When it's 12, there's going to be the 13th place. Everybody gets their trophy. You know, everybody gets a shot at it because on any given Saturday, somebody else could win or somebody else could lose. It's ridiculous, you know. There's no perfect formula to it. You got human beings picking on what's going in there, and there's going to be bias. I don't care who you are. There's going to be bias, and there's going to, you know, and there's no, you could put all the algorithms and whatever into it. You're not going to make everybody happy, and that's just the way it is. Eat your pudding. So
the only way it will ever be fair is to make it a results driven. You do not have humans picking because, like you just said, as long as humans are intervening and picking, there's always going to be bias. Okay. Yeah. Now, if you would have played this out on paper, SMU with a better record and playing in a conference championship game logically deserves to be in over a team that had two more losses, did not even play for their championship. I mean, it's freaking logic, right? So you got the strength of schedule stuff. And credit where credit's due, okay? Alabama had a harder schedule than SMU did. I think it was something like Alabama had a strength of schedule of 16, and they went 3-1 against top 25 teams as opposed to SMU, who had a strength of schedule of like 60, I think, going 0-2 against the top 25 teams. But you know which one of them played for their conference championship last night? SMU did. Not Alabama. I'm sorry. Also, Alabama played four G5/D2 schools this year. Four. SMU played two. So I don't even know how they end up with a strength of schedule like that if they're playing four cupcake teams through the year. And I don't know of another team in the nation that played that many cupcake schools. I'm sure there's one out there. So if anybody knows, comment somewhere and let us know. But that's that. So anyway, I think that's a good place to stop. My blood pressure's getting up thinking about it.
I just know that we are recording this Sunday evening, and I cannot wait till decision's made of our new coach. It's going to be exciting regardless. It's You know, some are getting exactly what they want. Most are, you know, and with this here, just respect Ren's choice. And we just, all we can do is be fans and, you know, hope for the best. And
I don't even care. I don't even care if people don't respect his choice per se. I'm just saying, give him the chance to make the decision without jumping on him. There are people out there already saying maybe he's not the AD we need. Guys, look at the basketball hires. He did great with it. Give him a chance to do it. Just give him the chance. He hasn't had a fair chance to actually make the hire and to see if it's going to work or not. I don't know how you could tell. I don't know how you could be jumping on him already when he hasn't even had gotten it done. Like, give him the chance. And then, hey, if we're sitting here 3 years from now and the guy is, I don't know, what would that be? You got 3 years of 12 games. That's 36 games. So let's say he's 10 and 26 after 3 years. Okay, Ren, dude, you screwed up, buddy. You screwed the pooch on this one. Let's do it then. I'm just, you know what I mean? But
yep.
Nonetheless, guys, we appreciate all you guys out there like and subscribe. We appreciate y'all looking us up and finding us and following us. You know where to get us at. We're on the YouTubes and we're on the Spotify's and we're on the Apple Podcasts. We do have a Twitter page. Hit that up if you want to sometime. Every once in a while, I don't do it every episode. I ask for viewer questions. If you have a question you would like us to answer, put it in the comments here in YouTube. Put it on our Twitter page. Everything can be searched Ear to Ear Podcast. And with all of that being said, everybody have a good week.
Hope we kept you entertained. And let's go from ear to ear.